Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 309, recorded on October 1st, 2016. Enjoy! Alright, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I am Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey Jeff, how you doing?
I am good.
Yeah?
Yep. How about you?
I'm doing well.
Awesome.
But I would have liked to hang out with a chicken, like you did today.
Hey, this chicken thinks I am the bomb.
Yeah?
Yeah. She's like all excited when I show up.
So you're picking eggs? You're collecting
eggs?
Yeah,
unfortunately there weren't any today. But, you know, that's all right. The chicken was still glad to see me.
How many eggs per day would you say, or eggs per week you get out of a single chicken like that?
It's usually about 5 or 6.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I should, I might need a couple more because I like eggs, but.
And they're really good eggs.
Nice.
Better than the store.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam Christensen is also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
Doing all right.
Sleep.
Trying to figure out how I get back into this group conversation that I messed up because of two-factor.
iMessage is still terrible.
Is being what iMessage is.
Yeah, you know.
An adventure.
A ball of
hurt. But I'm pretty sure it's my fault.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't just work anymore, Adam. You got to keep that in mind.
Well, we have this group conversation that we use, and because I moved from two-step verification to two-factor authentication because of new things that require it, which I thought went fine, and then I started to notice that I'm not getting, like, messages on all my devices like normal. And then this morning, for some reason, because I think I replied to one of our group messages on my iPad, which was no longer attached to my phone number, it just dumped me out of the conversation.
Hmm.
And it looks like I'm still in it, but when I pull it up, it doesn't give me a way to type any text. And it says you left the conversation, but I can't figure out how to add back in. And even more fun, this is even more fun, if I go and hit the little info button, you know, to bring up the details,
mm-hmm.
It says leave this conversation, but yet that is grayed out.
That's awesome. This is making me feel not so bad about the fact that I can't even enable two-factor authentication.
Oh, wait. Oh, hold on.
Yeah, I did that. I did that.
Oh, you did that.
Yeah. I added you.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it auto left me. It made me leave again.
Oh, I deleted your email address from it. So it says that you're in it. This is all very interesting, I'm sure. So,
and on my end, it says that Michael removed Adam from the conversation.
Yeah.
I'm going to remove myself and add myself.
We'll work on this.
We'll try that. Yeah. We'll give you a status update later in the show.
Yeah, because people are super interested. Yeah.
Well, I think they might be because other people may have run into issues like this.
Well, yeah. Here, let me add you. And you're probably good now, right?
I have no idea.
Whatever. We'll deal with it. So, the first thing to talk about.
I'm in there twice now.
So, this is from The Intercept. And so the article here talks about Apple keeping track of who you contact on messages. And it stores those logs for 30 days. And the reason that's interesting is because, well, iMessages are supposed to be encrypted end-to-end, and Apple cares about privacy, and they say that they care about privacy. So it was a bit of a concern, you know, if you just look at the headlines. So what happens is when you type somebody's phone number into iMessages, it then it has that moment where it's green and then it turns blue if someone has iMessage. And so what's happening there is your phone is sending that phone number off to Apple and saying, hey, is this person an iMessage person? And that is what Apple is logging. Right.
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 So it says, hey, you know, this phone number tried to connect to iMessage to another phone number at this time and date. And I guess there's an IP address for the client as well, which is very likely, it may or may not be a cell phone tower IP, but they store it for 30 days. And because it's information that it doesn't seem like they can really keep it encrypted, or at least they don't. It's something that they can.
Why couldn't they keep it encrypted?
I think they probably could.
They could at least hash it.
Sure.
Yeah, my guess is that's going to happen soon.
Yeah.
Likely. Yeah. So this is information that can be compelled by courts.
So basically, they would know this person was communicating with that person.
Not even necessarily. It may not.
But I'm trying to get at where the privacy concern would, privacy and concern would be, right?
Yeah, well, so Apple makes it clear, so this is from the document, it makes it very clear that what they are providing is not an indication that a communication actually took place, only that a query was initiated. So someone could have mistyped a number.
Oh, yeah, true. It's a handshake. I mean, there's an even just an attempted handshake, right?
Yeah, it's very. I'd say in the end, this is very circumstantial. In some kind of, corporate.
From a legal standpoint, I'm thinking more about it though. From Apple's stance on privacy and not having data, knowing about identifiable individuals, right? So at the very least, they would know my phone number and the phone number, whether or not I was trying to deliberately contact that person or not, they would have that phone number record, and a phone number record can be traced back to and it can be identified. It can be traced back to an individual person and you can identify that person.
Yes.
So that's more concerning to me on this, because Apple's taken this hard stance saying, we don't want to know data about individuals at all. We don't want to know who you are, who you're communicating with. We don't care about that stuff. Yet here is data that they hold that is counter to that message. That makes sense.
Yep, that makes sense. And my guess is that this is one of those things where Apple just for whatever reason chose not to take the time to hash.
Well, because it's
the phone numbers.
I mean, They're only holding on to it for 30 days. They probably figure it's very transient data. This was the easiest way to do it from an engineering standpoint. Yeah. And like Michael, you said, the exposure is minimal, but it still is exposure. That's kind of my point. And they've been taking a harder stance. And they built the system how many years ago? I mean, it's probably, again, one of those things where they built it that way back then. Now their policies and stances are different. They just haven't got back around to changing this one thing.
Yeah, and my guess is now that this is something people are talking about, they have a team dedicated to fixing that.
It's usually how it goes.
Yeah, and of course, this is big news because people love hammering on the hero. And Apple's on a pedestal right now. So, of course, people are going to do what they can to knock Apple down.
Yeah. I mean, if it was Google or if it was Samsung, everybody would be like, oh, yeah, of course. Whatever. Moving on.
That's very true. Okay.
Yeah.
So what else do we have here? So according to our friend Ming-Chi Kuo, who seems to have all the answers these days, the 2017 iPhone, whether it be the 7S or the 8, will feature a glass design, but it will have a stainless steel frame or an aluminum frame. So the stainless steel would be for a higher end model, but he makes it clear that he believes the technology is not there for an entirely glass phone.
I'm kind of okay with that right now. I don't think I want an entirely glass phone.
It doesn't sound like a great idea.
No, it sounds like a gravity crisis waiting to happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, we kind of had that. And it was a gravity crisis.
Well,
it was, yeah.
The situation, though, that he's describing for next year sounds a lot like the iPhone 4. Right? Black, metal frame, glass front, glass back.
That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Going back to that design. So the only difference is it's not going to be wrap around two sheets of glass.
It's
somehow
be
fused together in
some kind of curving situation.
That's the rumor of what people think Johnny's trying to get to, right? Where you'd have, I doubt you could do, there's no way to do it with a single piece, but if you had two pieces of curved glass and then you fused them and you blended the edge to where it was imperceptible, right? That's what we think Johnny wants to build.
Well, it's doing right now. What we have is very much like that, right? So if you look at the
but at least what we have now can be serviced. The
right.
The phone that Adam described and that Johnny probably wants to make, it would be like a Bic lighter in that sense. If it doesn't work, you just throw it away because you can't do anything to fix it.
Are you working for iFixit, Jeff?
maybe I should.
How else would you have us?
I'm envisioning
it's so splitting hairs from a design standpoint, yeah. In my opinion.
Well, see, what I'm thinking is we're going to have the material that we see for the piano black, whatever it's called, the shiny
jet
iPhone
black.
7, the jet black. Yeah. I think that material will be used in between a sandwich of glass. And it will be more akin to what we have now as far as the curved edges. So we'll have some amount of glass curving on the front and the back. And then perhaps between those two sandwiches will, the slice.
So rather than a metal band, you'd have a ceramic.
No.
Well, maybe a black ceramic band that
it wouldn't be ceramic. I think
to match the screen.
I think it would still be metal. I think it'd be metal.
With the aluminum with the finish on it.
Yeah. So
why not go with the it may be too expensive, but ultimately I would imagine they want to get to ceramic for the radio transparency properties.
Well, you don't get the issue with ceramic, and I think it's kind of the same issue with that you have with glass, is you don't have a lot of flexibility in ceramic.
Right.
It's brittle. It's tough, but it's brittle. So using a metal substrate is probably going to be better for a survivability, durability.
Well,
situation.
It'd also be better structurally or internally. I don't know.
And I also think it's probably going to be cost prohibitive.
But here's the thing. If you're building a glass, all glass phone anyway, you've already thrown the durability factor out the window.
Man, and now I can see it coming. Shattergate.
Get more you get more flexibility. You get a lot more flexibility out of glass than you do out of ceramic.
So you're implying that if you drop it, the metal will flex and therefore it has a slightly better chance of surviving without shattering.
I'm thinking more like in pocket sort of situations as far as dropping some impact hardness. That's just been gradually improving, and it was it was an issue with the iPhone 4 and 5. But long story short, Johnny wants what he wants, and to hell with functionality.
Well, why? Because it feels like if you look at the jet black iPhone 7, it feels like that accomplishes
that dream
exactly what you want, but still maintains a material set that makes sense.
So are we talking that the iPhone 7 is really the iPhone 8 and we're there?
No, but I mean, it's just like, what are we, it's just this weird rumor. I don't understand what design thing you could be pursuing.
It's just Johnny Ive's pipe dream, man. It's just what he wants.
Because it's the material. He just wants to play with them. I think this is more about Johnny getting into material science in like a huge way and just totally nerding out.
I can totally.
If anyone's in a position to do it, it's Johnny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we still haven't really, you know, they haven't gotten there with the Sapphire yet. Sapphire was a total flop for them a couple of years ago. So I'm sure they're playing with Sapphire.
Well, if they hadn't put their Sapphire factory on an Indian burial ground, they'd probably be fine.
Is that what happened?
It has to be. That's cursed land. It just has to be.
Yeah, they just trusted the wrong company.
Yeah, but then their building caught on fire, and it's just been like the string of stuff. It's almost as if they let Greg Brady keep the little idol from Hawaii.
They should make a movie.
They should.
Totally. Yeah. Okay. It's the perfect plot for a movie.
So I think this is from Bloomberg. Apple's in talk with Sharp to supply some OLED displays for the next generation iPhones.
Sure.
And as we know, Sharp was purchased by Foxconn earlier this year. And
did that go through, or is that still in process?
I think it went through. I think it did.
I think it did too.
Cool.
Yes.
I'm going to use technology and double check.
Okay.
I thought they were running into some issues with that. But
well, I think that ultimately Apple is encouraging Sharp to invest heavily in OLED building. And,
it did finish up in August, it looks like.
Yep, finished up in August.
I know there was a hiccup at one point because like the books, I seem to remember like they were looking at the books and they weren't as good as Sharp was implying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they clearly sorted that out.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's necessary to get the OLED displays.
Did you read the DisplayMate piece about the quality of the iPhone 7 display being like they think it's reached pretty much the pinnacle of what you can do with LCD technology. They like praise Apple for like this is an amazing display that has pushed basically LCD up to its inevitable edge, and there's probably no further you can go with this display.
Yeah,
with this technology. So that's the reason OLED is the next thing to move to, because of speed, because of the energy efficiency, because of all of its properties. So they have to move to OLED if they want to make a better display now. There's nothing they can do with IPS LCD technology. It's sounding like that they haven't already done.
Is there a concern over burn-in?
I don't think there's concern over burn-in.
Okay.
It's just achieving brightness. I think it's really more about the energy efficiency than anything else.
And high
because
yield.
High
yield. Good enough. I mean, can they get the production going? Well
that's
that?
That's why they haven't switched. I mean, that's the only reason we're not on OLED yet, I think. Because just the number of displays that Apple needs to generate. I think from a technology standpoint, Apple would have wanted to have switched a long time ago.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're doing it for the watch, and it looks pretty good. It would be nice.
Yeah, but it's a much smaller display at a much, much... I mean, it's infinitesimal, the quantity level that of Apple watch displays that Apple needs versus iPhones.
Yeah, that's true.
Very true. Let's see here. Oh, did you guys see the Fuse case? The iPhone 7? So this case brings a lightning... It's a battery case that has a lightning and a headphone jack on the bottom.
Of course.
And this is...
We're gonna see a ton of these.
On Indiegogo. I didn't catch the price of this thing. They may not... Oh, hang on. Super early bird pricing at $50 for one fuse case.
It must have a small battery in it.
Retail price of $69? No way. That's cheap.
That seems surprisingly cheap.
That seems about right. I mean,
I thought battery cases were like $100.
What?
I thought battery cases were like $100. I haven't had one.
No, they've come way down in price.
Okay, so it's a
depends on which brand you get. I mean, $100 if you're going to buy a
like an in case,
like
or
a Mophie, okay. Probably
2,400 milliamp hour.
Yeah, see, it's not a huge battery, tiny battery actually.
Well, what's
all right? Well, then in that case, the price seems fine.
Well, it's 24, so that's basically the size of the current, the battery.
Yeah, it's an extra
internal.
It's an extra charge.
It's an extra charge, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I'm not knocking it. That's what I would go with. I mean, they probably went with a smaller battery, keep the price down, keep the weight down.
Keep the size down, yeah. I mean, it looks pretty decent. Seems
looks
like a good
thin.
Idea.
Pretty thin, I mean,
yeah.
And it only adds a little bit to the end.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so, I thought it would stick down a lot farther.
Well, did you guys see somebody, there is a lightning adapter that somebody put out, but it looks like about the same size as Apple's, or as the Belkin adapter, which is huge, hanging off the end of the phone. I thought it looked really kind of, and it docked right in. It didn't have the flex cable like the Belkin one did.
So it was just a little add-on to the bottom, yeah. Making your phone longer.
Yeah, it reminded me of. Do you remember when you had the 30-pin and some like 30-pin speaker docks had to have the little adapter that would like lengthen it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looked about that size.
Oh, so it doesn't form to the whole width of the phone. It's just a little.
No, see, that's what I would. And that's how
well,
I
they
would
have
design
two versions.
It. I would make it long and narrow.
Yeah, they did two versions, or are doing two versions. One is shorter, so it's not as wide as your iPhone, and the other one is longer, so it's wider than your iPhone and has more ports. And I spent several minutes on daily observations on Friday, totally bagging on this. I've never just sat there and bagged on a product before, but I did.
I really think the ultimate design, if you're just talking about an adapter, and the only bummer is you have to design two of them because you have to design one for the 7 and one for the 7 Plus, is something that would sort of look like a little dock, and it would just wrap the bottom of the phone and maybe add, you know, I don't know, a quarter inch, something like that.
Yeah.
But then you can build batteries and electronics, you know, horizontally sort of across the bottom of the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think that's a more difficult and more costly design. So it'll take a while for someone to kind of bring that out. The ones that are showing up right now real fast are just stuff that's being kind of slapped together as quickly as they can get components. So you don't have a lot of time to put in thoughtful design when you're doing that. Because, you know, with the other kind of thing, you're going to have to find like custom cases and all those sorts of things. A lot of these adapters, like this Belkin adapter, I would imagine a lot of these Chinese factories already have like the plastic housings and things, and it's just a matter of like adapting what's inside there,
right? You know, and my guess is that
like
a lot
universal
of
universal designs.
Yeah, I'm guessing a lot of these are going to have the exact same internal components, just different shells based on who's branding them.
I mean, honestly, the Belkin one looks like an old like lightning to 30-pin adapter, you know, case almost.
Where is this? Belkin?
You know the Belkin one that gives you one lightning and then two lightning internally?
The dongle, right?
The dongle, yeah. But what I'm saying is they already had like tooling things that were already in that shape, and it's just like, okay, let's take this and cram some new electronics in it and call it a day. Like, it's not, there's no thoughtfulness in that design. It's just like, let's get an adapter because people are complaining about this. Let's be the first to market and get it out as fast as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of, you grab, what do we have lying around that we can modify rather than let's design something for this. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, I think a lot of these early designs that what we're seeing is just, hey, they're going to these factories in China. What can we really get quickly? And they're like, oh, well, we have this old design that we were using for this adapter, and we could probably, you know, put two lightnings in here, and we already have the tooling set up for a lot of this, so we'll just change this part and that part, and then we can start producing these, you know, in a month.
Right. And then these companies are like, great, we'll take 100,000.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
So it'll take a while for more creative designs like this Fuse battery case. You know, that's why it's an Indiegogo. That's why these other ones that are looking more thoughtful are going to, they're going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah. So are you feeling the pain on that then? The charging, listen?
I am. I just ordered, it'll maybe be my pick at one point if, depending on how the quality is, but if for me, the car, I knew that was going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So I ordered up an Anker, Bluetooth adapter for my car.
Oh,
has right. Really good reviews.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, nice.
It's hard to get a hold of though. They sell out. They go up on Amazon and they're sold out in hours.
Wow.
Interesting. How much are they?
I still haven't taken the headphones.
$21.99, I think.
Oh, well, that's why. That makes sense.
Well, and it's supposedly really, really good. I mean, I'm a big fan of Anker. I'll buy almost anything Anker, you know, sight unseen.
They do good stuff.
It's inexpensive. Yeah. They had quality issues at first, I think, with a lot of things, but these days it's pretty good. I have a 5-port. You know, it's funny. I bought the 5-port USB. So it's all ports are high speed charging. And
right.
Maybe 2 weeks after that, I told my friend about the thing and he was like, okay, cool. I'll go get it. And then he sends me a message saying, hey, that one that you sent me, it's not there anymore. It's a 6-port now. And I'm like, man, I need 6 ports.
So sell him your 5-port by the 6-port.
Well, he's already got the 6-port.
Is that the car one or the home one?
Home one.
Yeah. I love that thing. Very I have nice. One of those. They also have one for the car, by the way.
Nice.
5-port.
That'll kill your battery if you're charging 5 devices. And finally here, this one's fun to me. BlackBerry has decided to stop their hardware business and focus solely on software, which is funny because I thought BlackBerry was dead like 3 years ago.
What took them so long to figure that out?
I thought they were dead.
They are kind of dead.
So they have 0.2% of the market of a whole as of last year.
Had they made that decision 5 years ago, they would be in such a better place right now, because that was their key. You know, they had the hardware, great, but honestly, anybody I knew who was in, when I was in the corporate environment, the reason that they were loved in the corporate environment was the platform. It, you know, was the email and the messaging and all of that stuff. That's what the IT guys liked, and that's why everybody had BlackBerries. It had really very little to do with the hardware itself, in my opinion.
Yep, and
people like the keyboard. I mean, the keyboard on the phone, but I mean, you can stick a physical keyboard on any phone, as they found out, which was what was kind of the Achilles heel, I think.
Yeah, and I'm thinking the keyboard turned out to be not nearly the issue that a lot of people thought it would.
Well, and they pulled a Microsoft, and they should follow. And I think maybe this is what they're doing, is follow Microsoft again. You know, Microsoft on the whole tablet phone thing, they chased the hardware and they lost sight of where their strength was, which was the Office suite and software. And now that they've refocused that back and they're producing awesome apps for other tablets, it's, you know, Office for iPad or for iOS is great. Office 365 is great.
Hmm.
And I think it's showing that people are responding well to that. So hopefully BlackBerry can do a similar thing, you know, with their security and messaging platform. Because I think that's what it was all about, right? It was about they had this really cool system, but you know, and maybe at this point people have forgotten about the giant hacking thing.
Yeah, I did.
I think that a lot of people have.
What giant hacking thing should we?
Well, part of the problem with BlackBerry back in the day was they had this single point of failure. So, you know, their strength was their messaging platform and their security. The Achilles heel, though, was it all went through one data center in Canada. And I seem to remember that that data center got hacked at one point.
Yeah.
And so you kind of had this single point of attack where people could go after.
Yeah.
And that.
Now, I'm wondering if BlackBerry waited too long to make this decision. Because if they did, then it doesn't matter that they're pivoting now and focusing on their strength. As they may still very well be on that death spiral, and they just won't be able to pull out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's also interesting. They the last couple of phones they put out, the big releases, were Android releases, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are they, I mean, what software are they going to write?
Again, I think it's the BlackBerry messaging platform.
All right.
Yeah.
And it's used by corporate IT. I mean, it's a business to business kind of platform.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know a ton about it, but I know that's where their strength is. And I think if they refocus on that real tightly and then start growing from there, they maybe have a chance. Like Jeff said, it may be too late, but if they're going to save the company, I think that's where they have to try.
I'm going to guess it's too late.
But we've talked way too long about BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Yeah. On an iOS show.
A word. Okay. So
now we know what Adam started talking about.
I think that's it.
That's all we got.
That's all we have. I mean, I could talk more about how I miss the physical button on my iPhone.
You know, we need to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Because there are camps forming in our community about this button.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I've run into people who, like, love it. And I'm trying. I'm getting more used to it. But I'm still in the camp of it's not as good as having the physical button. It sucks. I'm sorry.
I don't mind it at all.
You cannot say it's as good. And some people are saying it's better. And you're just wrong.
You know, my family members that have played with my iPhone are certain that there's a physical button in this. They, you know, and I keep telling them, no, it's just the taptic engine trying to trick your brain into thinking you clicked a button. They're like, no, I felt it move. It's a real button. So people, I think just the
I don't
general
deny
public,
that sensation.
They're okay with that.
Yeah, I don't deny that sensation. And I think you can fool people. My problem with it is its lack of any kind of localization. It still, to me, feels like I'm clicking my trackpad on my desk. Like, the whole bottom of the phone is just, like, rocking.
Okay.
Like, well, if it had a pivot in the middle.
So my issue with it, I'm fine with the way it feels. The only time it's weird is if it's laying on my desk. Mm-hmm. So laying on a hard surface, and I click it, and I really can't feel any sort of feedback.
So yeah, you're right. It's really hard to feel any feedback.
It's really weird.
If your phone's sitting on a hard surface.
Actually, that kind of makes sense because you're basically dampening its ability to vibrate, to resonate.
Oh, yeah, it totally makes sense.
Right? Because you're sandwiching it one hard surface between another hard surface. So you're basically applying pressure in a way that would dampen the vibration.
Yep.
Yeah,
so totally makes sense.
So you have that going on. I'm fine with the way it feels. Yeah, it's a little bit weird, but I have really gotten used to that. The issue I've gotten used to it.
I mean, I've accepted it.
The issue I have is using it with my armband.
Ooh.
If I want to go for a jog, and I want to have any hope of doing anything on my phone. You know, I have to turn on assistive touch, the little dot that expands and lets you fake the home button.
Is that 'cause there's like a plastic screen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
in your armband, so
there
the home button doesn't work through that?
There are certain, it seems like there are some, some gloves that will work with it, but the gloves that work with the touchscreen or the things like that screen protector that do work with the screen don't always work with the home button, and that is just such a giant bummer. I don't get it. It's bonkers to me.
So is that the case? Like, your armband has a plastic sheet over it, and that whatever that material is, while it works with the capacitive screen, it's not working with the capacitive button.
Right.
Interesting.
It's super weird. Huh. And that's what a lot of people say when they're, you know, if you want to, you know, if you wear latex gloves to work for something, the screen will still respond, but the home button doesn't respond.
You know, can I ask a question about that? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
So if you're in an environment where you have to wear latex gloves because you're handling presumably things that you don't want on your person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if I'm handling those things, isn't that material now on the glove?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The outside of the glove. And if I touch my iPhone screen, aren't I transferring that to the iPhone screen?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then what happens at the end of the day when I take my gloves off and then I go to use my phone?
You clean off, you wipe off your phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, everything that you didn't want on your skin, unless you're using a Bluetooth headset, is going right up on your face.
Well, see, the thing is, okay, so for me, it's like, oh, okay, if I'm going to be...
checking on that, just...
If I'm working on my car and I know it's going to be super greasy and I don't want to get, you know, oil and dirt all up under my nails and, you know, really embedded in my skin,
right,
I'll wear some gloves. But occasionally I'll need to use my phone, and my phone's not going to really absorb stuff that well, and I can wipe it off pretty easily.
Right. Yeah. I just got to clean it off.
It's one of those situations. Yeah.
But there's people that are in those environments that are doing exactly what I just described.
Yeah. But it's their life.
Like, I'm in the Ebola lab. Let me touch all this stuff and use my iPhone. And then, like Jeff said, stick my iPhone to my face.
It's fine. Ebola doesn't like phones.
Yeah, Ebola, it's not into texting. It doesn't want you to call it.
Well, it's just that your phone has an Ebola phobic coating on it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Apple should market that.
It's like the water resistance, right? You know, it's not perfectly Ebola proof. So, yeah, you just can't market that. It's false advertising. So I don't think there's anything else to talk about. So we'll do picks. And my pick is going to be... I'm going to go with the Anker. And because I was looking on Amazon, I was trying to pull up the one that I have. So I have the Anker 40-watt 5-port USB charger. The power
port. That's what I have, too. It's awesome.
It's dope. I love it. Too few ports for me. Because I have two pairs of earbuds that I charge. I have the watch, my phone, iPad. Oh, and my posture thing, my Lumo Lift. So that's six. So I have one too many things that I like to charge. But the 5-port, if 5 ports is all you need, it's $24. Amazon on Prime. That's cool. The 6-port, you get more wattage. So it's they're all high speed. It's $30. But check this. This is going to be my pick. This is incredible. It is a 60-watt, 10-port USB charger.
Holy crap.
$40. I mean, the price is so right, you might as well just get it.
I thought you were going to pick the 500 milliliter oil diffuser.
What is that?
Anker sells some weird stuff. I don't know if people know this. It's an aromatherapy oil diffuser.
Oh. Yeah, not this time.
If it's USB charged, you could get it and the charger that Michael's talking about.
Oh, I'm almost positive that thing's USB powered.
The oil diffuser is $32.99.
Okay.
Plug it in. It has a color changing LED, so you can set your mood light on it.
Where is this thing? I feel like this is. I feel like I've seen this thing.
It's in the appliances section of Onkers website.
Okay.
They have different levels. They have a 100 milliliter, a 250 milliliter, and a 500 milliliter for all your aromatherapy needs.
Yeah, light some votives. Get your aromatherapy on.
And use your Breathe app on your Apple Watch.
I have not used that app.
Relax.
I haven't used
I've
it
used
yet.
It a couple times. It's nice.
Yeah, you should use it, Michael. Chill you out some.
Yeah, take the edge off.
Yeah, stop harshing people's mellow.
You jerk. Like that?
The thing that I really want from Onker is they have an awesome like outdoor battery system for like camping, like generator kind of thing.
A generator?
Well, I mean, it's a solar power. It's a solar power, like, outdoor battery pack.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me that this aromatherapy machine camping. Was powered by diesel or something.
No.
That would be kind of funny.
Yeah. There's one, yeah, one
the
pipe is
the powerhouse. The powerhouse. It's $500. 400 watt hour portable battery.
Portable bat. Oh, they have robot vacuums.
Yeah, they have everything. Onker is awesome.
They have some stuff, man. Battery.
If they ever need a podcast to sponsor, they should call us.
What is? Yeah.
No
what
kidding.
Is this battery thing called?
Called the Powerhouse.
Powerhouse. It's like the size of a.
I'll give you a link. Hold on.
Car. Yeah, just send me a link. All right. So Jeff, what's your pick?
My pick. I don't think is nearly as versatile as far as product availability or depth, but it's still handy. It's ProCam 4. And the reason I'm picking it is because awesome. I think first, it's a really great camera app. But the way that they have the interface set up for doing raw photos with iOS 10, it's great. So, you don't really have to think about what sort of shot you're taking. I mean, it's just a little button right there on the screen. Tap raw. Now you can do raw photos.
Nice.
It's I really like it. And you can use it very effectively without ever buying an in-app purchase, which I think is a really nice bonus.
So is it free?
I don't remember.
$5. It's $5.
If
okay, yeah, it's five, so bucks. $4.99.
Okay, $4.99, and unless you want to do like 4K video or you want to have a bunch of extra filters, you don't need to buy anything else. You just pay for the app and you're done.
Nice.
Are we talking about the same app?
ProCam 4.
Yeah. Does it? It has in-app purchase. I never noticed that.
Yeah, they have like filters, and if you want to do the 4K video stuff, that's an add-on.
Oh, I've never even had to use that stuff. So to your point, Jeff, yeah, it's totally unnecessary. And I've never been hounded to do an in-app purchase either. So
no, it never bothers you about any of that. But if you go to use something that you haven't done the in-app purchase for. Then it just tells you, hey, you need to get this.
Yeah.
So it's never obtrusive. And it's cool. A great app.
Yeah, it's a nice app. It's my favorite. I got it mainly for the RAW because I didn't have a camera app for doing RAW. And I tried Adobe Lightroom, which will do RAW. But it was like way too weird and confusing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like Adobe let the Acrobat team design the interface for Lightroom on iOS.
Well, I mean, I don't think of Lightroom as a camera app anyway. Like, just the whole concept behind that is weird to me. Yeah. So, you know, Pro Camera seems to fit the bill, and it's $5.
ProCam 4, it's nice. Awesome.
All right, Adam, what's your pick?
I'm going to go back to Onker, even though I don't have it yet, because I think it shipped last night. but I'm going to trust that this thing's going to be awesome. And it's a solution for people who have an iPhone 7 and don't want to upgrade their car stereo for Bluetooth. It's called the Sound Sync Drive. Like I said, it's $22, $21.99. It is back in stock on Amazon. And it's basically a little Bluetooth puck, hands-free car Bluetooth receiver. It's got the button and the skip forward back on it, so you can kind of mount it up on your dash somewhere.
Ooh.
And then a cable runs down, and at the end of that cable, you have USB and 3.5 millimeter to go into the aux jack car stereo.
Yeah, you have to have an aux.
You have to have an aux in on your car stereo. The only complaint that I've heard about it, and I can see this in the design, the separation from where it sort of wires out to give you the USB charge and the aux jack, depending upon how those things are set up in your car, you may have trouble reaching both the USB power port and the 3.5 millimeter
extension.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So depending upon how wide apart they are in your vehicle, you may have to get, like a 3.5 millimeter extension cable to kind of reach. So just be aware of that. But in my car, where my car charger port and the aux jack for my stereo is, I don't think I'm going to have a problem. They're pretty close together, so I think I'll be okay. But other than that, it's a great price and it's Anker, so I'm totally trusting the quality, and it has great reviews on Amazon, and a couple people who have already in my audience who have this have recommended it to me as a solution. So I think it's going to be the perfect thing
for
me.
I like it. So the Sound Sync Drive, and it's how much?
$21.99 US on Amazon with Prime.
$21.99. Awesome.
I may just have to buy one.
Yeah, I mean, it's either that or I was going to have to buy a new $80 head unit with Bluetooth built in.
I like being wired. Wired is nice. Then you get juice. Although that's the one thing, honestly, as far as the iPhone 7 goes, the speed compared to my 6 and the battery life. The battery life has just been so great. I think that's the sleeper feature on this phone. Right? Would you guys agree?
I've never had battery problems the last few generations, so
I have noticed a marked improvement in my battery.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
So, all right. Yeah, man, and that powerhouse looks insane. I'm going to throw a link into the show notes because that powerhouse
15,
is nuts.
15 laptop charges in that thing.
God, dude. Can you power like a fridge on that? You got AC on there?
It can power a mini fridge for like 7 hours.
What use is that?
It's for camping. It's for camping. So
but
like when we
hours?
Go to Pismo for a week, we are constantly dealing with having to charge like iPhones. And so this, it says on there how many iPhone charges it'll do. It'll do like just a cred ton. And then, like I said, you can get solar panels to plug into it. And so you can charge it on solar, charge the battery back up. So the idea is you charge the battery before you leave.
Yeah.
And then while you're camping, you plug in a solar panel. It's got a solar panel port on it. And you just continue to recharge it through the day. And then at night, you can charge up all your phones. It's got 4 USB ports built right on the front of it,
solar
and it's the same IQ
port.
Technology, just like the 4-port 40-watt adapter. Mm-hmm. It also has a standard outlet on it. It's insane. I mean, it's $500, but if you do a lot of camping, this is like the perfect solution.
So you're getting it?
No.
No.
I haven't been able to justify the cost. I mean, we go once a year for 1 week, but if I was going like every week, or I was, an RVer or, someone who had chosen that lifestyle.
You could just get
I could totally see getting that.
You could just buy
it's 120,000 milliamp hours.
Yeah. And it's $500. You could also just get like a car battery from the store and then get an AC inverter and then call it a day.
Sure. But this has a nice little handle. It's all integrated.
Yeah.
It's got everything you need.
Package. It's a good package. I like it.
Got a power LCD on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, it basically is a car battery with all the charging stuff and the ports on it and a handle.
I wonder if it is a lead acid, though. It's probably lithium ion. Although it is very car battery shaped. I don't know.
Yeah. 40 iPhone recharges in here.
Cool. Cool, cool. Yeah. Only 40. That doesn't seem like that many.
Only 40.
I would expect like 2,000.
But if you have four iPhones at a campsite, that's 10 days.
Uh-huh. Okay. Cool. All
right.
Yeah.
You can charge, keep your phone charged for 10 days off one charge. And that's without even, you know, hooking it up to solar and recharging it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long it would take. You know, it depends on the size of your solar panels. But if you get the big, like, RV panels and plug them in, I think you can charge it up pretty quickly.
Hopefully, at least, you know, with one day.
I don't know. I'm just hoping that I'm hoping by talking about it more and more, and the longer we extend the segment, it's probably good. Maybe they'll send me one.
Yeah, okay.
I think that would be awesome.
Send them a link
to send you one so you can test it.
Send them a link.
Yeah, I got
to
test it out.
Okay, cool. So with that, you can find the pics in the show notes at theiosshow.com, as always. And we've got comments set up on there, so you can comment on the particular episode. It's great. I see those. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the email address to which you can send your questions, comments, feedback, and more. And I think that the feedback at We Have Communicators address is down. As a, you know, someone mentioned that to me, but you guys don't use that anyway, so that's cool. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen is at the Matcast, matcast.com, and at Matcast on Twitter. Thanks for being
here. And matcast.com, if Honker's listening, that's where they can find my address to send me that stuff.
Is that where we can also go to, like, say hi to you, or is it just like a mailbox?
Oh, yeah.
It's a
it's an office address.
Oh, okay.
So meaning it's a UPS store.
Okay. I was going to say either UPS store or your closet. Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, TMO Daily Observations, and at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Jeff.
It's always awesome, and apparently today it's costing me money because I think I need to get the Unker Sound Sync.
Yeah, and hey, it's October. Did you notice that?
Holy crap, it is
the 1st of October.
I gotta get
cracking on my proton pack, otherwise I'm not gonna be ready for Halloween.
Yeah,
don't cross the streams.
That's good advice.
Yep.
I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An iPod.
An iPod.
An iPod.
An iPod.
A phone.
A phone.
A phone.
An iPod.
An iPod.
An iPod.
An iPod.
A phone.
A phone.
A phone.
And an internet.
And an internet.
Internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do?
So what are we going to do?